And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It's Monday, March 11th, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. I'm the co-host, along with my son, investigator extraordinaire Joe Hagman. And folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of unbiased, uncensored news analysis, information that you need to know in these perilous times. For those new to the show, we broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on the Internet, our home base. Is HomelandSecurityUS.com, together with our sister colleagues to the north, CanadaFreePress.com. You can also watch us as well, as we saw us in high-def video, on the Christians United Broadcasting Network. That's the Christians United Broadcasting Network. Well, thank you for joining, each and every one of you for joining us. Thank you for your belief, your trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together. We're a listener-supported broadcast. We want to thank everyone who's helped us stay on the air through your financial support. And we've also got some really nice correspondence that we're going to touch on tonight, because I think it's important to just kind of go through some feedback. But before that, we've got a lot of news and information to get through. In addition to that, the third hour, we'll be taking your calls. But before that, Joe, on video, welcome to the program, my friend.
Glad to be here. And I was hearing a little bit of delay and some distortion when you were talking, but it was minimal, and I don't think the audience heard it. But yeah, this two-year anniversary of Fukushima, the nuclear plant meltdown, I think it was the 9th anniversary of the earthquake. No, the 11th was the anniversary of the earthquake. And the initial tsunami. And we today have information on Fukushima, on the status of what has happened in the last 2 years versus what is happening today, and what's going on since the tsunami happened, triggering the worst natural disaster in the history, nuclear disaster in the history of the world.
What is going on with Fukushima right now? We know that we've got some lingering problems there. We know we've got radiation leaking into the ocean, still unchecked. What's the threat to us? What do we have 2 years after the worst nuclear disaster? And by the way, those people who lived through Three Mile Island back in 1978 or 79, I believe it was, know that, that was in the news almost every day, and that was nothing compared to what's going on today. Yet we hear nothing about this, or virtually nothing about Fukushima. So where are we at with this today?
Well, we have a lot going on as far as people wanting compensation from the government to the nuclear reactors, to the life around the prefectures that were affected. And there are psychological stresses emerging. One article states also, another article goes into the amount of radioactive water that is going back into the ocean. And Fukushima nuclear plant flooded daily by 400 tons of groundwater. Well, that water is going back out into the ocean, contaminated. But this article states 2 years, high cost of cheap energy. Fukushima tragedy 2 years on. 2 years after Fukushima disaster, much of the cleanup effort is still theoretical. Survivors go to court for compensation and thousands march against nuclear power while the government gives up on the phase out promise. Mm. Experts estimate closing the damaged reactors down will cost about $15 billion and will take 30 to 40 years.
We do know this. We know that some 38,000 children are already cursed with likely health problems, and those are the, that's a number that we know of. We do know that there are thyroid abnormalities being confirmed among tens of thousands of children downwind from Fukushima. They are the first clear sign of an unfolding tragedy, radioactive in nature, that demands some sort of accountability and transparency. You know, we still have, 2 years after the initial result, we still have three still smoldering reactors sitting in Fukushima. We're 72 years into the nuclear program in worldwide. And this, wow, why isn't there more exposure to what's going on here? We need exposure. We need to understand, too, because those listeners on the West Coast, the listeners in Japan, we have listeners in Japan. We've got listeners all over the world that are being affected by radiation, that are eating contaminated fish, seafood.
Yeah.
Plus, we in the United States, for example, are suffering the fallout from this.
Yeah, we are. And even worse, in Japan, at Fukushima nuclear plant, there are still buildings on the plant that human beings cannot enter. This is 2 years later.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
It says the radiation levels are too high. So what's the point? So at this point, what's being done is that the grounds are being prepared for the work to come. But a lot of the work is still theoretical. Now, 2 years later, remember, we had an opportunity after the disaster. Japan had an opportunity to call in the U.S. and other government agencies under the United Nations that had prior experience in help cleaning up Chernobyl. Government agencies and private sector agencies that know exactly, you know, how to handle these contaminated regions that have done this in the past with leaks and decommissioning other plants. But they said no, they'll handle it themselves. They kept it in-house with TEMCO and the government of Japan, and it has just gotten worse. I mean, there's no other way to put it, and this is an ongoing tragedy. As 400 metric tons of groundwater every single day go into these damaged reactor buildings, and nothing is stopping the water from going back out into the ocean.
Well, this is something we're definitely going to have to keep our eyes on, our ears open, and investigate the current status, because this is a slow kill. I mean, it's nothing but a slow kill. I came across a site. Now, I have not fully vetted this site, but it's FukushimaFacts.com, and it appears at face to offer multiple tools, folks. For example, radiation news, live cam shots from the Fukushima area, real-time radiation readings, and other videos. Once again, I haven't vetted the site, but folks, you can take a look at it for news information, and of course, that's FukushimaFacts.com. Don't have any affiliation with it, but like I said, it seems to have a lot of information that really we're not getting from our government. Of course, they will attempt to ban 32-ounce big gulps in New York, but when it comes to radiation,
did you see the court overturn Bloomberg?
Yes, of course. The gun ban in New York City is still in force. Yet,
right. The Supreme Court takes the time to overturn the soda ban.
Right,
it's just amazing. You know, what is their priority? Obviously, not the defense or safety of the American people.
Exactly. Now, we've got a lot of other news, too. One thing I want to confirm with people, you remember last week we had a caller about DHS harassment, alleged DHS harassment of veterans, that is to say, in authenticated documentable evidence that in Western New York, specific county in western New York, at least two veterans were visited by allegedly agents of the Department of Homeland Security under a pretext of these individuals, these veterans, having copyrighted material or some sort of pretext. They gained entry to the homes of these veterans and essentially tossed, and in at least one case, kind of tossed the living room. When I say tossed it, kind of searching for things, upending a couch, looking for something. And again, they gained entry allegedly under pretext, and it appeared that the common factors with this, number one, they were veterans, and number two, both had apparently recently purchased weapons, firearms. Now, not illegal firearms, legally. The information I have, I got an email from the caller that had called into our show last week. She's getting some information together, and we will present it as we get it. But the reason I mention this is because more and more and more and more veterans are getting letters, and you can find copies of these letters on the internet. It's not hard, but you can find copies of these letters on the internet where the DHS is actually sending them to the veterans returning from Afghanistan, Iraq, overseas, anywhere, and saying, look, we have information that would indicate that you're not capable of handling your own affairs. Well, what does that mean? Well, that also means that you're not able to own a gun, among other things. The letters are notifications that within 60 days a decision, their status, their mental and physiological status will be under review, and a decision will be made in 60 days. However, you do have the ability to submit evidence to the contrary, submit evidence, for example, of your stable mental health. But if you don't, the decision will be made for you. And we're seeing this not only in Western New York, but we're seeing this all over the country. And this is a very disturbing pattern that we have to identify, and we have to expose for what it is. We really have to expose the fact that DHS is targeting veterans and disarming them. Now, we know, folks, you've heard this before from Steve Quayle, from Craig Evenson, from others. You know that veterans have been targeted, but the extent to which is surprising even to me today. To look at the letters, to look at the decision that's already been made essentially for them, and unless they are proactive in fighting it, it's kind of like if you've ever been to Philadelphia, you can get a parking ticket, for example, and if I remember about 5 years ago, I got a parking ticket. I was not in Philadelphia at the time. In fact, I hadn't been to Philadelphia in like 10 years. Yet they sent me a parking ticket, and I said, look, there must be a mistake. And what it was actually a mistake of a number on the license plate. So whoever wrote the license plate number down, the officer had they transposed two numbers, basically. The bottom line was, in order for me to fight this, I had to prove, and think about this, I had to prove that I was not in Philadelphia at that time. This is what and that's a small little issue. But think about this now. This is the veterans. These are people that life decisions are being made. And so that's, you know, that to me, that's just, wow. This is part of a bigger pattern, however. This is part of a larger plan to disarm the American public, obviously. This is part of the plan to disarm America. And folks, if you have a chance on HomelandSecurityUS.com and also on CanadaFreePress.com, there is a story that was published with my byline today, how to prepare for what's coming. Part of it is to be able to defend yourself. That's an important part of the equation. The government, the federal government, is taking that away from us, beginning with veterans. And that's a shame. That is a shame. And we all need to stand behind the people who have made sacrifices to provide their military service, and they come back, and of course they're treated like terrorists. So, but just be aware that the clamps are getting tighter against the American veterans.
Yeah, absolutely they are. We have listeners who have sons who have been in the military, served in Iraq more than one tour, and have come back and been told to hand in their guns before even being labeled with post-traumatic stress syndrome. And we're, oddly enough, I know one veteran who had their guns taken away, never to be returned, who was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress syndrome, asked if they would re-enlist in reserve duty. Now, why would they want somebody to re-enlist that they would give a gun to
in
some other place or area while they would not be allowed to have a gun here in the States?
Exactly. But we have. I think what we have to do is, and this is just from me looking over some and talking with a lot of people this weekend and looking over some information that has come in from listeners. We really have to look at the larger picture here of what's going on, and I think that people are starting to wake up now, and I love it because I really think that the. If it's not just us, obviously it's not just us making a difference, but it's a lot of people that are talking, making a difference. Folks, it's you folks out there that are listening that are making a difference by spreading the word, by talking with others, by even just a casual conversation with a friend or a family member saying, hey, did you hear about this? And then you go into it, and that causes them to look something up or research something on the internet or at the library or with, you know, in the news, whatever. But now people are starting to wake up. Now that's kind of a double-edged sword because as we awaken more people, the threat to the plans for this global enslavement, and please understand it's global enslavement, which the powers that are, the elite, they want, well, we're kind of throwing a monkey wrench. We're going to be the monkey wrench and the fly in the ointment to their plans. But nonetheless, we have to fight. We have to awaken people. And I think that's taking place. We're seeing it take place. So, you know, wow. But this is all part of a larger plan. And it was set up long ago.
Yeah.
All right.
We have a bunch of things going on today. Some earth changes. One, we have had a 4.7 magnitude earthquake in Southern California, followed by some tremors. And I know we have listeners in Southern California, RoboMom, I hope you're all right, and others. And it is asked on Drudge, on the front of Drudge, is this a precursor to a bigger earthquake? We also have a new sinkhole in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And we had four asteroids buzz past the Earth over the weekend that missed or were missed by NASA, I think, as I did not see them listed, only one of them listed on the JPL models. But in the last 7 days, an asteroid, which was 131 feet across and three smaller space rocks, zoomed past Earth, the latest demonstration that we live in a solar system that some scientists have dubbed a cosmic shooting gallery. Now, this was from Yahoo News, and this is going into some of the Earth changes we are seeing. I was talking with a friend earlier today, and he talked about the Gulf oil spill and Fukushima being, you know, real big, and
right.
The Gulf oil spill talking about the change of the jet stream and how important that was. And that's something I've heard before, but I need to do further research into. But the changes we're seeing in the sun, in the sky, in the ground, on the earth, holes opening up, swallowing men while they sleep in their bed, holes opening up all across the United States. We have earthquake in diverse places. Even the USGS, you got to find some other earthquake monitoring sites. Show, you know, that there are some earthquakes going on along the New Madrid that aren't showing up on the USGS. And just a whole host of different events. We had a fish die-off here in our area with Lake Erie. They had the locusts in Egypt last week in Israel, and we are seeing things happen that are not normal activities. We are seeing the comet Pan-STARRS is in the northern hemisphere for the next few days. You can only see it really at dusk, from my understanding, in the western sky near the
right.
horizon. But later this year, we'll have that comet Ison that will be as bright as 15 full moons, they said. It'll be like a second sun almost. It'll be bright in the daytime.
Hmm. Okay. But have we verified this? I mean, how do we authenticate something like this? I mean, before actually looking out our windows and seeing this.
You mean the comet?
Yeah.
Well, Comet Ison, they talked about this. We talked about this for a little bit a couple weeks ago when it was first made known. But Comet Ison is going to be coming in the end of September, if I'm not mistaken, November of this year. And it will be humongous. And it will be so bright that it will rival the, I think it was 1652 or 1692 comet that lit up the daytime sky.
And this will be visible to everyone? Or?
This will be the northern, basically, it'll be the brightest in the northern hemisphere after the passing around the sun. And the Great Comet of 1680 was the bright one. But this could be the brightest, most bright comet we've seen in our lifetimes, let alone it could be ever. But, it'll be, to my understanding, 15 times brighter than the full moon. Now, I could be wrong. It could only be a few times brighter than the full moon. But
It's going to be a bright, a very bright event regardless.
Yeah. Comet Ison will be here. It looks like in the end of September, November, and we have Pan-STARRS now, and there's another one also. There's a second comet. But Ison, you won't miss it, according to astronomers. It will be November 28th. It's expected to dive into the sun's atmosphere. If it survives, it will be as bright. It will shine or glow as brightly as the moon, and be visible in the daylight. So it'll be as bright, at the very least, it'll be as bright as a full moon in the night sky.
Well, comets are harbingers of, are well-known harbingers of doom. Of course, that's perspective. That's others' perspective. But if you look down through history, they've always been harbingers of doom, or at least looked upon as such. How fitting can this be? You know what, folks, go ahead.
Along with these Earth changes, we're having new viruses. And I consider these to be Earth changes, as they are indicators of things that can really affect humans in a big way. This new antibiotic virus, we're being told, you know, watch out.
Antibiotic-resistant virus.
Antibiotic-resistant, yes.
Right.
It has the potential to be a very deadly virus that can kill many people. Obviously, if it's antibiotic-resistant, they don't have a treatment for it. So,
well, I have a call into my own family physician who's extremely close with I want to say like a microbiologist, but that's not the correct term. It's a physician, very well respected all across the country, who studies viruses and the antibiotics to be used against such viruses. Because when I heard about this, I wanted to find out exactly what the truth is and was. Now, if like I said, of all people who know this doctor, this physician, who specializes in this kind of virus, are we overstating, or is this hyperbole? Is this something that's a scare tactic, or is this something we should indeed be concerned about? So hopefully at some point during the week, this gentleman travels a lot for speaks a lot at symposiums, and so I hopefully I'll have some sort of an answer for our listeners this week.
I do have a little update here. This is it says no new CDC, no new SARS-like virus in the U.S. This is what they're saying now, as opposed to yesterday or the day before. genetic sequence analysis show the new carnivorous virus is different from any other known human coronavirus, including SARS, U.S. health officials say. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention said a total of 14 confirmed cases of novel coronavirus infection had been reported to the World Health Organization, with 8 deaths. The illnesses have occurred from April 12 through February 2013. No cases have been reported in the United States as of yet, the CDC has now learned. But they do say that this illness can pretty much resonate in your body for up to a year before it becomes known that you have it. And it goes on to say, basically, this is in the Arabian Peninsula and neighboring countries.
So it's got a year latency virus. It's a virus with a year latency period.
Yeah.
So you could be infected for 12 months or longer, perhaps, not knowing you have this, and then bam. Is this a respiratory virus, or do we know exactly how the symptoms manifest themselves, or what are we looking at? It sounds to me like this is a respiratory.
To be honest, I haven't done a lot of research on this, except reading a few articles, and they seem to differ in their. Like this one says, one female did exhibit respiratory illness following contact with another patient who was hospitalized for the virus and recovered. A patient who developed severe acute lower respiratory illness within 10 days after traveling they do meet the elevated guidelines of this possible disease. But the cases have been identified in the UK, Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia in Britain. So this is something that has been in the news a lot. It's been reported by Yahoo News. The CDC is on the front of Drudge today. And whether a scare tactic or something to look out for, it's something to at least have in the back of your mind and know that there is this virus out there.
It reminds me of the Nazi collaborator and racist advocate of mass genocide, Prince Philip, a man, if you recall, who has often expressed his desire to return to Earth as a deadly virus just to thin out the herd. Yeah, Prince Charles. Okay, Stan is. Yeah, folks, when we heard about, going back earlier, when we heard about the, or when we were talking about the earthquakes, we were looking, Joe and I earlier before the show, were looking at the various earthquakes, the earthquake maps, and noticed that Stan Dale has this terrific track, well, we've known this, but of late, Stan has really hit the nail on the head in terms of anticipating and nailing in advance earthquake prone areas. And if we can bring Stan on, certainly we will, for an update not only about the Southern California earthquake, but about what he sees taking place perhaps along the Ring of Fire or anywhere across the world, because earthquakes happen. And like I said, Stan Dale is the man. I don't know his, all of the components he uses or all the factors he looks at that would calculate where earthquake would strike or, how, but there's a science behind it. So Joe's going to be working on bringing Stan on for Stan Dale of standale.com. That's DEYO, standale.com, for an update. And that'll be here in a few minutes. But while Joe is doing that, I just wanted to revisit something real quick. Are we okay with that,
yeah, okay. Yeah, he'll come on.
Okay, good. One of the things I wanted to just to touch on a little bit here. Two things. Tomorrow, Steve Quayle is going to be on from 9 to 12. We're going to have a special show tomorrow from 9 to 12. It's going to be just a great show. The converging flashpoints will be the topic, converging flashpoints. And Steve, I talked to Steve earlier, and there are so many things taking place that we just touched on just now that are taking place concurrently. And when Steve called me, he says, you know, I really have some new information and some information I think would be vital for your listeners. And I said, well, let's talk, you know, come on. So confirming what we had indicated last week, tomorrow night, 9 to midnight, Steve Quayle is going to be our special guest. Also on Friday, and I'm working to confirm this now, but it's 99% confirmed. We're going to have, for part of the program, on a Gold Star mother. Folks, if you don't, listeners who don't know what a Gold Star mother is, it's a mom who lost their son in battle, Marine Corps son in battle. Well, our guest on Friday is going to be Susan Price. She is the mother of Aaron Kennefleck, who was executed in Afghanistan in the Battle of Ganjal. This was written about extensively by numerous war correspondents. This was also the subject of extreme, intense investigation by Susan Price, her son's death. By the way, Dakota Meyer, the Medal of Honor winner, who recently wrote a book about his experience, played a big role in it, in saving people at that battle, and felt so bad that he couldn't save Susan's son, Aaron. She's got a lot to say, because for the last 3 years, she has been on a crusade of investigation, a crusade of finding the truth about what is really going on, not only involving her son, but what's really going on with the wars over there. Her son, by the way, was a CIA asset, worked for the CIA. She's got a lot to say. And folks, we've got a lot of information to break on the people, the agenda, the activities that are taking place in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and in the Pentagon. So you're not going to want to miss that show.
With that, we have with us Stan Deo, standeo.com, his earthquake maps, his recent data release of earthquake maps have been very accurate in the last few months, and we have brought him on today to ask about the California activity and other earthquake activity that we see going on in our country. Stan, it's good to have you.
Good evening, Joe.
Hello, Stan. This is Doug, and
how you
honored to have you.
Well, good to have you. You're right. I can only see one of you. Is that because only one's on the video at once, or?
Yeah. Well, that's only, yeah, I've actually taken to a cave right now. I should be back on video here shortly, in the next couple of days. Stan, how you do it? I was looking at your recent maps, and holy cow, you've been nailing these earthquakes. I'm not sure how you do it, but what's going on here? What are we seeing, Stan?
Well, to begin with, the method that I've developed is, gosh, I started doing about 1995, and just happened to discover at that time that using some naval data from the Monterey Naval Facility in California, that between 2 days I could get a difference in the rate of change of the sea surface temperature anomaly, which means this. Every day they would take data from their submarines, from their buoys, from their satellites, and the Navy would then show the temperature of the sea surface all over the Earth in a colored map. And then they would show another colored map, which would show how the sea surface temperatures of that day all over the planet changed from the, say, 30-day average or sometimes a, you know, several-year average, to show that they were anomalous temperatures, either hot or cold. But what I found quite by accident was that by, you know, analyzing that data and finding 2 days of sea surface temperature anomaly, I could get the difference between them. and in mathematical terms, it's the second derivative of it. But what it amounts to is this. It would show me how fast anomalous changes of temperature were occurring. And I discovered, much to my surprise, while I was playing with this and getting pretty pictures, that these like presaged or gave me information about when an earthquake was going to occur anywhere on the planet where there was water butting up to a landmass and inland, maybe, you know, 50 to 100 miles. And at that time, it was maybe 70% accurate. So Holly and I flew over to California to meet with the people at Venmock, the naval station there, where the computer, the Cray, was that they were using to do all this. And I showed them what I'd come up with. And they said, well, you know, we can't really endorse what you're doing, but we're certainly going to visit your website every day to get your forecast. They said, the reason is that you're getting only 70% is because we have a 30% error in our data from cloud cover and, you know, satellite interference and buoy failures, this kind of stuff. So we agreed, and I used their data quite happily for, you know, a number of years. In 2006, the government gave them money, and they decided to put up a whole new constellation of satellites, get a whole new supercomputer, write all new software, and you never guess what program, what data they no longer supplied to the public, the Sea Surface Temperature Anomaly Maps. Well, until this year, I've been searching for 6 years trying to find another way to analyze the data and get it from another source with enough accuracy or resolution that I could get an accurate forecast for earthquakes. Now, the reason this works is because in the Navy data, as opposed to every other place I looked that had like sea surface temperature maps, in the Navy data, because they were using some satellites that also supplied high voltage field measurements over the oceans as well as temperature, it came down into the same program, got munched together. And so I was seeing changes in temperature from one side of a fault line to the other side up to a week to 10 days ahead of time when it was getting pressure built up to release. Now, it wouldn't always release, obviously, but I would be able to determine that there was an earthquake zone that was becoming pressurized and trying to release, simply because this high voltage transfer from one side of the fault line to the other was occurring because of the pressure on the rocks generating piezoelectric charges that moved up into the water, up into the surface of the ocean, in the air, over to the other side of the fault line, and they transferred heat from one side of the fault line to the other, something like a Thompson effect or a Peltier effect in physics. That's the long story there, but basically, when I found that I could get this information from several other data sources and mix them together, now over, you know, several places I go to, I was able to reconstitute the maps and get even more accuracy. I've had as high as 90% accuracy on some of these maps. Now, there will be days that I'll find something that looks like it's going to release, and it won't. But the earthquakes that do occur, I'd say that all the time, between 75 and 80%, maybe 85% of the time, I will get any earthquake as a Richter 5 or better, I will forecast it. Sometimes only a 10-hour window before it happens, sometimes as long as, you know, 7 to 10 days for the bigger ones, because they start building up pressure a long way out. Now, this is a tool that allows me to look at the Western United States for sure, because obviously that's part of our country, and the big earthquake that's forming there will be in the Juan de Fuca Plate in the Cascades subduction zone. And what will happen when that does release, it will be a Richter 9 plus on the old scale, which means it would be less, probably Richter 8 that would record it, but it's going to be a Richter 9 on the old scale. And we are all aware of this at study earthquake seismicity, because the whole ring of fire, and you can see it on my maps on standeo.com if you go to the earthquake prediction page and click on, say, today, you'll see a map of the whole world. The land masses are kind of a dark gray with, you know, grid lines on it so you can tell where you are, and the coastlines are in white. The areas of the sea surface are in various shades of greens and blues and yellows, which tell me various things to help me predict the pressure zones. Now, the ring of fire over on the western side of it is where, you know, Asia is, Philippines, Australia, New Guinea, New Zealand, all that over on the western, kind of the southwestern side. They've been having a number, in the last month, a number of big earthquakes, you know, up to sevens and stuff that are just, you know, even an eight, that is anomalous to have so many of them happening over on that side. Now, a couple years back. You know, we had a great big tsunami at Richter 9 over near Sumatra there, and things went terribly awry there, and 250,000 people died. Now, that pressure release they had seen building along the Ring of Fire for a number of years. The only place on the Ring of Fire that has that kind of pressure buildup and has not released, it's 55 years overdue, is off the coast of Washington State and Oregon State in the Juan de Fuca plate, with a little tiny plate there. Now, on the 7th of March this year, I put a big circle around that and one around Southern California near the Salton Sea, which is, of course, where that earthquake occurred today. And it was only about a 5.1. They downgraded it and deleted a lot of the smaller earthquakes that happened after that within an hour. When I say a lot of them, there were 213 earthquakes in the space of, 24 hours. Basically, most of it was crammed into about 6 hours in that spot.
Wow.
And they downgraded it to a 4.6. Now, sometime back, USGS changed their system, and you can add about 1.2 Richter to anything they tell you now to get back to the old scale. They're trying to make it look like it's not so bad. So that 5.2 or 5.1 today would actually have been about a 6.3 on the old scale. And it shook the dickens out of that area around a mile and a half in diameter around where that earthquake occurred in the mountain range there in Southern California. And if you look at the USGS map, you'll see the earthquakes are just splattered all over that thing, the ones they haven't deleted and hidden and said, we're taking that one out, it doesn't count. But even what they've left is a lot. Now, that area is thin, and it's a volatile plate. And any time you see earthquakes in Southern California around the Salton Sea area and to the west and kind of north of it, just slightly where it occurred today, you can know that there's potential danger for the occupants in that area. It's just a very weak part of the plate.
Hmm. And folks, I just want to say this. I visit Stan Dale's site every day, and I saw on March 7th, in fact, if you go to standale.com, that's standale.com, I would bookmark that site. But today, on the top news story, the 5.1 shakes wide area of Southern California, the map that I saw 4 days ago, that has the exact location of this earthquake that happened today, as predicted based on the formulation that Mr. Dale uses, is circled right there. I mean, it's right there. So
yeah,
the accuracy.
The earthquake off New Zealand and Chile.
Yes.
In the 2-3 previous weeks.
What is this telling us, Mr. Dale, in terms of what's coming? I mean,
is this a precursor, as Dredge asked? The article on Dredge asked, is something worse to come in California, or is this regular activity, or is it a precursor to what you were, is it connected to the fault line up in Oregon?
Well, whenever I see something that will potentially really be serious to the residents of the West Coast from the Baja all the way up to Oregon, even up into Canada, and Alaska as well, I've watched them all. When I see something like that, if I feel that it warrants an alert to the people to get their earthquake provisions in place and get ready and nail things down, I will put an alert up there on that map, and it'll say alert, an arrow will point to the circle or circles in this case, and say look out. Now, the reason I didn't today or on the 7th was because it was kind of normal background signals. When you see these little green and red blotches of color along the fault lines, which is those tiny little lines that are the tectonic plates. You'll see them strung all over the map there. When you see something like that, but it's bright green and bright red right over the fault line area, and it's a big pattern, then you'll know that something is building for a big earthquake. I mean, you don't even need me to put a circle around it, but I can do that. Now, I don't see anything like that right now. I put up today's map, and there's a little bit of activity up on the northern side of the Juan de Fuca, probably a little island off the Canada coast there. But other than that, I wouldn't worry too much about the West Coast for 2 or 3 days anyway. Safely, when we're going to have a big earthquake, I mean a big one, 6 or better, I should get a warning of it up to a week ahead of time. Maybe 10 days sometimes, but right now you know, for the next 2 or 3 days, I'd say we're pretty safe. I don't see any immediate buildup. Strangely enough, on the 7th, on that map we were looking at, 7th of March, I put a circle of some temperature changes and voltage changes I saw over on the Texas coast and put a little circle around. You can see it there. Well, we just had an earthquake today, a very tiny one, just slightly east of that red circle under Louisiana there. Even the smaller earthquakes, you know, that come after I signal a big place like that can be picked up by this process, but they're not dependable. The smaller ones just don't make normally a big enough signal to see ahead of time. However, in this case, I think it was probably an offshoot of this one I saw on the 7th of March. And what's really building, look at Central America and the northwest corner of South America. You'll see a lot of circles there on the 7th. And you think, well, okay, that was the 7th, a big deal. You look on the 8th, and there's a couple of big circles in the same area. On the 9th, a couple of circles in the big area. On the 10th, three circles in the same area. And today, on the 11th, a lot of circles. Now, there's something happening. There's a massive break, I think, on the tectonic plate from the northwest corner of South America up into the Central American area. Something is constantly generating a seismic signal, and we haven't seen the end of this one yet.
Hmm.
That's their problem, not ours, but I'm just telling you that I got to watch.
Well, I've got a question, Stan. Looking at this map, and I'm just curious how you, for example, if there was a threat inside one of the land masses, whether one of the continents, do you use the same data points to... for a formulation or for, I don't want to say prediction, but an assessment that an earthquake could take place in a specific area. Let's say in the center, in Kansas, for example.
I've looked at the data there, and it's just too polluted with human activity, thermal signatures and electrostatic charge variations, and it's just too hard to read accurately. I wish I could, but sea surface is a lot smoother, in essence, data-wise, and I can see anomalies pretty quick there. I wish I could.
Mr. Dale, we're seeing articles where they're talking about, and this is a change of topic here, but the sun, the odd behavior, strange behavior exhibited by the sun. This was last week. We saw articles at the end of the week talking about unexpected things that could happen coming out of NASA from the sun. Is there some kind of relation from the solar maximum to the amount of earthquakes in the particular year of the solar maximum, or is there a need for the CMEs and the solar flares? If those are triggered, if there are more CMEs hitting the Earth, does that have an effect on the earthquake activity?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Back in, several years, I think back in 2001 or two, we had a CME hit the planet, a halo hit, like a really perfect shot at us. And another one in 2004 or 5, and might have been one in 2006 before I lost the data, or data access. But what happened is on the day that CME hit the electromagnetic field of the Earth, the magnetopause, the ionosphere, the Van Allen belts, it pumped that energy straight down into the polar regions of the planet and down inside the planet into the core. And what happened was over, the first one I saw was over near Japan, up near Kamchatka Island in Russia, and this about 500 to 800 mile diameter bright red thermal anomaly occurred, almost a perfect circle. And I thought, wow, what's going on there? You know, that's the end of the Earth for Kamchatka. It's going to be a big earthquake. But I couldn't find any balancing green or like showing that the temperature was traversing a fault line. So I thought, well, that's what would cause that? So I puzzled over it. And the next day, it was gone, and the temperature dropped anomalously. It turned into a blue circle because it had dropped so suddenly because it was gone. But over in the Atlantic, on the other side of the planet, another one of them, smaller size, appeared, one of those red dots. And what was happening was the energy from that CME had bounced inside the planet and produced a heat wave, you know, like a heat spot over near Kamchatka, bounced off of there to the other side of the planet over into the Atlantic, and it might have bounced one more time, but I couldn't quite determine where it went to that time. It might have been under a landmass. and it was gone. So yes, when we have a CME strike the Earth, it does add energy into the system of the Earth. This solar cycle, well, now that's an interesting question, because this is solar sunspot cycle number 24. And normally we would be expecting the sunspot number to reach its highest point this year. But it hasn't. In fact, it hasn't even reached as high as we thought it would. It's lower than the average. It's leading some of the solar scientists to say this. We're going to have a double peak in this solar sunspot cycle. We're going to have one that we're seeing happen right now in 2013, and it will dip down a bit at the end of the year. And then in 2014, 2015, it'll rise up again. We'll have a second peak, and that will be our maximum for this solar sunspot cycle. Well, there's more to this than they're telling us, because NASA, for the first time in recorded history, has declared that this solar sunspot cycle number 24 is going to be called a grand solar maximum. Now, we've never had such a thing, you know, as a grand one, especially when there's no, you know, high sunspot numbers. Yet what is happening is there are instabilities in the magnetic turbulence on the surface of the sun, and it has been throwing off some rather big and interesting, nearly Earth-directed, in some cases they were, coronal mass ejections. Now, this year, and possibly in 2015, which would be anomalous, but this year for sure, the north and south pole of the sun are going to flip-flop. They do this every 11 years, roughly. And then another 11 years passes, they flip back to where they were. This is called the Hale magnetic cycle of the sun. They just observe it. They don't know exactly why it turns upside down like that, but it does. Now, this flip-flopping has been going on for eons as the sun aged. Now it's burned up half its hydrogen fuel supply. They did that probably 50 years ago, according to the Russian data. And it's subject to changing the whole nuclear chemistry that's going on down inside the sun to produce light and heat and stuff, to maybe, instead of the current reaction, to a special kind of fusion-fusion reaction, which will change the heat output of the sun and all kinds of things. I don't think that will happen in our lifetime, but it's certainly indicative of changes going on in this one little tiny, you know, thousand-year period of the sun that could affect us badly, and appears it may do in this cycle.
Stan, in your book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, and I've got to say, folks, if you don't have this in your library, this is probably one of the most valuable books you can have, The Cosmic Conspiracy, the final edition by Mr. Stan Dale. In your book, you talk about this undeniable set of circumstances presenting itself to us with respect to the sun entering this transitional stage, this increasingly eccentric planetary alignment causing, I don't know, abnormal magnetic and electromagnetic storms and such. Are we fixing on seeing some really interesting activity with respect to the sun here? I mean, it seems like things are quickening, for lack of a better term. Is this what we're talking about? Is this that we're looking at this?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, Doug. In the Cosmic Conspiracy, I referred to a report that the RCA Corporation, the radio engineers, put out in, I think it was 1956. Might have been 1958 for IGY, International Geophysics Year, but they did note at that time from their data that the positions of some of the major planets, you know, the gas giants, in relation to the sun, and when their orbits, you know, when the say like Saturn and Neptune and Jupiter might be 90 degrees apart from each other, and in those times there were more earthquakes and, you know, more bad weather and coronal mass ejections and things like this. Now, when I first wrote The Cosmic Conspiracy in 78, there was a report out by Dr. John Gribben, addressing this alignment of planets as a potential trigger for some pretty bad stuff on the sun. Well, now, I calculated, as did others, that this would be in 1982 at that solar sunspot maximum then, and, well, not at the maximum, but when the planets would be aligned. And it came and went, and okay, there wasn't exceptional activity on the sun, you know, just normal type run-of-the-mill stuff. But it doesn't mean that the earthquakes on our planet are not directly affected, caused by the sun itself and perhaps the positions of other planets. What is happening now is we've seen just recently a meteor come into our atmosphere just underneath the communication satellite orbits at around 30,000 miles or so off the surface of the Earth and sail on through, but there was some attendant other junk in at the same time that exploded over Russia and a few other things that happened. So we're aware that there are objects out there that we can't see. And within a few weeks of this happening, or a couple of weeks actually, we found another one that passed close to the Earth that no one had seen, no one had detected in the scientific community, because it was too dark to image and too small to image on their screens until it got close. This is something that is going to be a surprise to all of us. You can't predict that. You can go on biblical prophecy and say if we're in the last days of this age, then certainly something's going to hit the Earth. A star will fall into the oceans and wormwood and all this kind of stuff. But if you look at what's happening, some of the comets that are coming in now to the sun, there are some new comets being discovered. And there's
Stan, you're hitting on the point we talked about before you came on. The comet Pan-STARRS that will be seen in the northern hemisphere for the next 2 days, but more importantly, comet Ison and the brightness that will exhibit in the end of November.
Well, Ison's going to be a sun grazer. It's going to come close to the surface of the sun. Now, whenever you get a comet that impacts into the sun or comes close and grazes it and keeps on going, you'll find that coronal mass ejections erupt right after that. It disturbs the heck out of the surface of the sun. So even though the comet may not be close to us at that moment when it's grazing the sun, what it causes the sun to throw out might give us a headache of sorts. You see what I'm saying? And there are a number of sun grazer comets that are known and plotted, but we're discovering new ones all the time.
You know what? I just have a question. How long have we known about this particular comet? Because
from my knowledge, from like last September, it might have been just something they threw in the news as it was coming in the next year. They could have known about this for a long time. I don't know, Stan.
I probably read the same news items that you do, and I think they did say when it was officially discovered, and again, that's the official discovery date. Let me just see here. I'll check while we're talking. I might be able to give something on it here. Comet, that's Pan-STARRS. No, we want Ison. Okay. Some of these sites do give the actual discovery date, and no matter what they say, somebody in the government could have known about it with better equipment than most of us have got. So, I guess it's useless to say when it was discovered, but it was recently, very recent, in the last year or two, at maximum, I think.
And we're almost at the break, Stan, and we don't want to keep you too long. And I just want to reiterate this for those who might have joined us late. From what I understood you talking about, the California earthquake today was not a precursor from the indicators that you watch as of today.
Sorry, say that again, Joe.
The 4.7 earthquake in Southern California today and the swarm were not a precursor to something bigger based on the information you were looking at today, correct?
Yeah, I think that... people are safe at the moment. As I said, look at the site every day because this could change tomorrow. But if it does, I will certainly put a warning up if I think it's serious and it's a precursor to something bigger. Holly, wouldn't you say that Ison was discovered officially? Okay. Well, she says September 21 of last year is when Ison was discovered. So there you have it.
Interesting. Okay, very good. Stan, I've got an kind of left-handed question here. I noticed that you have a reference, Audio of the Day, official Louisiana sinkhole going to be in the record books as unprecedented. Any comments on these sinkholes? Because we talked about various sinkholes in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for example.
Scranton, Pennsylvania, Ohio.
Scranton.
The one that swallowed the gap in Florida.
Yeah, what are we seeing here? Is this something that we should be expecting more of here?
I think so. If you think back, Doug, you and I are the oldies here. Do you remember seeing reports of as many sinkholes as we're hearing about in the last two or three years?
No, not at all.
I'd never heard of such a thing.
Mm-hmm. No, the only sinkholes, of course, that we hear about are the ones caused by infrastructure disrepair. Yeah, but nothing like this.
Okay, yes, but these large circular sinkholes, a lot of them, the majority of them are happening in Florida, and Florida is known for having a lot of sinkholes, but there are more now underpopulated areas, so they're obviously becoming more newsworthy. In Louisiana, those salt domes, what they're called salt dipiers, they're just salt domes that Texas Instruments and other companies that I've worked with have been throwing radiation waste into it, toxic chemical waste into it, because it was a good place to bury the stuff that you never have to worry about it, except for one thing. Something is eating away at those salt domes in the Louisiana coastline there and up into the Coin Bayou, and it's dissolving it. So it's collapsing, and of course all the junk is going to probably be getting into the water table and some of it erupting as gas in the atmosphere. And that's just one of many salt domes that they've drilled and put junk into. Some of it's stored natural gas and things. But why is this happening? I think because for whatever reason, whether it's the sun increasing or whatever, the diameter of the Earth is expanding. Now, it may expand a certain point and then shrink back, or it may go on and make a major change in the diameter and make the Earth, 15-20% bigger in diameter than it is now. This has happened in the past to Earth, and it happens to every other planet and star as they age. They get bigger. This stretching of the surface releases the sideways pressure you get from just dirt and stuff pushing on the side of a structure. And where the structure may have been, able to hold itself and the stuff on the ground above it, when water erosion, even water erosion goes under an area, it doesn't fall down because it's got the sideways pressure from all the surrounding rock and dirt. When you reduce that pressure by expanding the planet, then you have a problem, and some of these areas that should have been sinkhole before are definitely sinkholes now. They break down because they just can't support their own weight, and they fall in. So when the government says, oh, look, these sinkholes are not to worry about. These normal things, water gets in and erodes a rock formation, and pretty soon the stuff just falls apart, And okay, that's true. But it's happening a lot more rapidly now because the pressure on the surface of the planet is starting to relieve. I mean, it's, we're expanding slightly. And I think this is why we're seeing volcanoes and earthquakes in these increasing numbers.
Wow. Wow. So we can expect more.
Yep. I think so.
Stan, as always, you're a very, very treasured asset for all of us, for our listeners. And, of course, your website is one that we visit every day. That's standeo.com. And, of course, Holly's book, Dare to Prepare. Everyone should have that, along with Cosmic Conspiracy, in their libraries. We're up against the top of the hour break, my friend. God bless you. Thank you for agreeing to be on the show at such short notice. Thank you so very much, Stan. All right.
Night, guys. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. God bless you, Stan.
God bless you.
Joe, it's fabulous that we've got the ability to have him come on and in this case, reassure. I mean, I take this as reassurance.
Yeah.
Given his professional, his knowledge and his accuracy. Whereas Drudge is saying, well, could this be something more, precursor to something more? I take this as being reassurance.
Yeah.
We're not hyping things up.
Something we're going to have to check on a daily basis, because he said the indicators today do not indicate that there will be another event, but that could change tomorrow.
That's true. And again, the author of Cosmic Conspiracy, it's a great book. Wow. It just has so much diverse information in it. And Dare to Prepare, Holly Dale's great book. It's certainly not too late to order that and to implement some of the guidelines they have.
Yeah. Folks are listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report this Monday, March 11th, 2013. We will be right back after these short messages. Stay with us with more news coming on the other side, and then your phone calls in the third hour.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's canadafreepress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Powell. A lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at canadafreepress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
And before coming back, I'm going to play a quick audio here of this superbug threat from Al Jazeera TV. This is a 3-minute audio, and we will be back with the Hagman and Hagman Report after this.
Now, even the simplest of infections could kill you, as medicine is thrown 200 years in reverse. That's the bleak warning from the chief medical officer, who has compared the catastrophic threat of antibiotic-resistant bugs to international terrorism. Dame Sally Davis called for urgent action to develop new drugs before minor infections become untreatable. Our science editor, Tom Clark, reports.
Things like Klebsiella. You can see these shiny dots here. These are the bacteria growing here.
Professor Laura Piddock spends her time trying to find new ways to kill bacteria. In her lab at the University of Birmingham are some of the nastiest bugs known to medicine. And for a long time, she and her colleagues have been warning how they're only getting nastier. The majority of hard-to-treat infections now are caused by gram-negative bacteria, like these. They kill around 5,000 people in our hospitals every year, and in half those cases, the bacteria are resistant to antibiotics.
The nightmare scenario is a multi-drug resistant gram-negative bacteria that is untreatable with all known licensed antibiotics, because that means there isn't even a drug to start off with. The moment we have a couple left and we can at least start patients on these antibiotics. So the nightmare for me is we've run out of any options.
Now Britain's top doctor is warning that if antibiotic resistance isn't made a top priority, medicine will take a giant leap backwards.
I recently had a minor operation on my wrist, got no infection and was fine. But in 20 years' time, if I had that operation or a replacement hip and I got an infection, it might well not be treatable. If it gets into my blood, I could die. We could be back where we were at the beginning of the 19th century with untreatable infections and a high death rate.
It's not just lethal gram-negative hospital infections. Virtually untreatable tuberculosis is on the rise. So too are bugs that society was only too happy to see the back of.
Gonorrhea has caused more suffering than any of us would care to think about.
They thought gonorrhea had gone away, but there are now strains of the bacterium resistant to all antibiotics. The CMO's report calls for action on new superbugs of the kind that tackled MRSA. Deep cleaning and awareness helped bring infection rates down by 80% in a decade. But these new bugs are tougher. There's been no medicine developed against gram-negative bacteria since the 1980s. More are urgently needed.
There are so many ways in which resistance can be prevented. But I'm a little gloomy, actually.
When Alistair Geddes left medical school in 1951, the pre-antibiotic era was just ending. It may have lessons for us now.
More isolation facilities in general hospitals. So if a patient does develop a particularly nasty infection caused by a multi-resistant bacterium, get them out of the ward and get them into isolation.
The Department of Health says it will publish an action plan within weeks, but it's not clear if it will come with new funds to bridge the gap between basic research labs and drug companies, so far unwilling to commit the cash for much-needed antibiotics of the future.
Hold on to your seat. The Hagman & Hagman flight is now taking off. Doug and Joe Hagman have cleared the runway of TSA agents, jihadists, political crackpots, and global elitists. Now get ready for some real news. Here they are, Doug and Joe Hagman.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this Monday, March 11th, 2013 edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I almost got my days screwed up, and I am bringing us back. My father is joining us right now as he was talking with somebody who will be joining us as we have a breaking story coming our way. Before we get into that, and he sets that up, a couple of stories I wanted to cover real quickly, as I'm not sure if we will have a chance to do that tonight if we don't do it now. Airport screenings concerns civil liberties groups. This story, on the heels of this audio I'm going to play now, with the TSA and what they are allowing. Listen to this.
You will still have to remove your shoes. If you're carrying a bottle of water, forget it. But a hockey stick will be okay. So will a small pocket knife. TSA's changes to what you will soon be able to carry through security and onto an airplane already find stiff resistance.
If some type of argument could escalate, guess what? Someone pulls out a knife, then I'm here. I have to defend myself and make sure all the other passengers are safe.
The decision includes allowing ski poles, pool cues, even golf clubs. A TSA spokesman tells CNN these items don't pose a catastrophic threat to the operation of the aircraft.
Our greatest concern, the greatest risk, is not metallic IEDs, whether that's the explosive, whether that's the electronic initiator, or a chemical initiator, whatever that may be, that's what I want our security officers to focus on.
But travelers have their own ideas.
I'd actually prefer if they would change the rules on the liquids, because I've lost too many things. In fact, on the way here, they took had a little jar of peanut butter, and I had no idea that that counted as a liquid in a gel.
This man carries a pocket knife all the time, except when he's flying.
I would prefer that they stay off airplanes.
This couple, however, isn't worried.
So I guess I want the stewardesses to carry knives, right, or something, you know, to protect us if needed.
Yeah. But I know we have marshals on the airplanes that take care of us.
The Flight Attendant Union Coalition says the change will further endanger the lives of all flight attendants and the passengers. The Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association agrees, calling the decision dangerous.
Hi, Pastor. Just hold on one moment.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
the gist of that audio, that's a TSA allowing knives back on planes.
It's an incredibly schizophrenic. You've got to wonder what the actual intent is here. You can bring a box cutter aboard, but certainly you've got to take off your shoes. It's an incredibly schizophrenic security policy that tells us it's not about security, but about conditioning and control. Ladies and gentlemen, and I want to thank Maggie and Bob, listeners to our program, for connecting Joe and I to a man of folks in Florida know this gentleman. His name is
Pastor.
Pastor Daryl Dumas, and he's got a church in Florida. His home site, his home base on the internet is ddumas, D-U-M-A-S.net. That's ddumas.net. Touching Hands Ministries. This gentleman is a pastor. He's a Christian. He's an outspoken member, a respectful outspoken member for values, for things that, well, I got to tell you, from what I know of Pastor Daryl Dumas, he's a great guy. And he's bringing to his congregation, as to anyone who will listen or read his website, the truth, kind of what we do, news through a biblical worldview. Now he has he does have a television program. It airs every Sunday night. It's and he, in fact, he'll give you some information about that. But here's why we brought him on. You know, we've talked about situations involving outspoken people, people who have issues with certain governmental policies, political disagreements with people in power. In America, we should be able to have the freedom to say, look, I don't agree with what's going on. Abortion's not right, or this isn't right, or that's not right. We still have, in this country, freedom of speech. Now, imagine a person like Pastor Daryl Dumas. Imagine taking his grandson to and going to a gun shop to buy a gun for his graduation or for his grandson, and find out, I mean, and not, by the way, not having a single black mark on your record, no speeding tickets, no outstanding warrants for anything, a model citizen, as maybe Chris Matthews would say about Obama. And yet he walks into a gun store, never been arrested, no felonies, pastor of a small church, yet very effective in Mississippi, or thereabouts, okay, Florida, Mississippi. I'm sorry, he can clear this up. But here's the issue. He went into the gun store to purchase a weapon, and was told, you can't do it. Why? Well, because he was on, or is on, the FBI no-buy list. Why? With that, I want to welcome Pastor Daryl Dumas to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Welcome, Pastor. We very much appreciate having you on short notice.
Yes, sir. It's my privilege to be here with you.
Well,
and the church is located in Mississippi, not in Florida.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Oh, the accent gives everything away here, Mississippi.
Okay.
Pastor, tell us what happened. What's your story here?
Well, it's quite simple, and you touched on it. It was a surprise to me for sure. Because I've never belonged to any organizations. I've kept myself free from it intentionally through the years. I've never belonged to the NRA or in any group anywhere at any time. I've just simply preached the gospel to a small congregation, small people. We don't have a New World Order congregation and all this. We're hooked and linked to nothing. And went in to buy a pistol for my grandson. I'd teach him how to shoot. We'd just go back in the backfield, back and shoot cans. And to my surprise, I come back, we was on a no sale, was on the FBI no sale list. So, like I said, you know, we've never been associated with anybody, anything of any nature. We've been on the air, on television, for more than 20 years, and we've not been belligerent in any kind of a way. We've talked about issues that we think are important, you know, and that has meanings. Politics is made of politicians. Politicians are human beings. Human beings is motivated and led by one spirit or the other, either God or the devil or either themselves, and And so, you know, what people do when the wicked bear rule, the Bible said the people should mourn. You know, it's not an issue of politics or whatever. Someone's trying to promote two men getting married and saying it's equally the same as a man and a woman getting married. You profess to be a Christian, and the Bible says, you know, that if a man lieth with a woman, is he lieth with a man? They've committed abomination before the Lord. Then, I mean, it's an open and shut case. I mean, if this is a Christian nation, you're Christian. That's all we've done. We've brought these things out, and we've brought anti-biblical things out that the Obama administration has done. We talked about George Bush. We talked about Bill Clinton. But never has there been a more godless group or a more godless bunch in government than today. And I firmly believe that Barack Obama is the spirit of Antichrist. He's not the Antichrist, but I believe that he is to the Antichrist what John the Baptist was to Jesus. And I think that can easily be proven biblically, scripturally. And so I guess for that we've been deemed a threat to the government. You know why? I have no earthly idea.
Well, Pastor, can you, just to establish the actual incident, when did this take place? When did you do this? Was it this week or last week?
No. This was let's see. It's probably been a year ago, and a half ago, or something like that.
Okay, so it was about 18 months ago that you went to purchase a gun, and you were told no, you can't do it. And did what state? Was this in Mississippi or was this elsewhere?
Yeah. No, it was in Mississippi.
Okay, so did you make any appeals to anyone, or did you just kind of walk away saying, okay, fine, you know, no problem?
Now, you know, we ask the questions, why, but of course the people who sell you the gun don't know why. You know, they just say you're on the list. So, no, I know why, you know, so, and to be honest with you, I'm not much of a gunsman, and the fact that I was on the list tells me more than me not having a gun. I don't care. I mean, I got a gun for protection, but, you know, I mean, the thing about this, sir, is that it's what we taught and what we said back during the Bush administration when all the laws was being established on terrorism and the right for them to do this and that. I said, all of that's fine and good, but I'm all for it. We have to destroy those who wants to destroy us. But the problem is what happens when an administration comes in who says, you're the terrorist. And that's exactly what has happened. And now you have drones flying across the United States, and we have the word of a Barack Obama that he wouldn't use them against American citizens, but yet they're flying around in America, and I can't buy a gun because the government says I can't, so I must be on the government list. They've already said in the past, the Obama administration said in the past, some of them connected to it, and said that veterans was someone that needed to be looked closely at toward a homegrown terrorist. I mean, it's as simple as ABC, you know. I mean, you're walking around, you can't buy a gun, what used to be a model citizen, but obviously you're not a model citizen anymore because you're on a no-sale list, and now they got drones flying around that, you know, and who do they see as the terrorist? That's what the question is. Who do they now view as the terrorist? In Barack Obama's administration, I am the greatest threat to America. You are the greatest threat to America.
That's right.
I mean, that's disbelieving in fact.
So you were basically, as Rahm Emanuel said one time not too long ago, that they wanted to treat people who they put on the no-fly list without any due process or without any evidence against them. They wanted to do the same thing with the gun ban list. They wanted to put people they deemed as possible domestic enemies on the no-fly list as well as the no-gun buy list without any evidence. And this is something that you went through firsthand. And you say it's because of the
how outspoken you are in your church by not going along with the New World
Order. And again, that what we do is not belligerent. I mean, it's not radical. It's not trying to get people up in arms. It's not laced with opinions and such as that. You know, I play them saying it. I play Barack Obama saying that he wants your children to know that it is just as well for two men to be married as it is two women to be married. I play him saying that. And that's 90% of our program is that, them saying it. Dingell saying pertaining to the health care that it was for to control the people. I play him saying it.
So you played them in their own words, and they want to penalize you for that.
Brother Dumas, have you been harassed in any other way or experiencing any other harassment?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. I finished the question. I just was wondering if this, I don't know, oversight or harassment has extended beyond that one incident 18 months ago, where you're, you know, have you experienced anything additionally?
Well, we had a visit from the tax people for the first time in 30 years. So bad, but no major harassment. It's not much that they can do, but we're kind of an oddity. We don't ask for money on television. I have memberships of 50 on good days, got two churches. I have a membership of 50 people or more in Savoy, Mississippi. You ever heard of that? Nobody were sitting up on a hill in Savoy, Mississippi. It's nothing to do with no kind of government business whatsoever. I produce my own TV show. My backdrop is $7.50, and we take none of the money to do the television. We ask for no money over the air, and you know, God puts it on people's heart, I reckon, to send it. The biggest harassment we get threats on the life all the time, you know. But from the government, there's just not much they can do. There's not enough money to look at as far. We've never done nothing illegally with money, don't have no appetites to mention, and there's just nothing. But they come visited us, and that was the first time in 30 years they wanted to see what we had and how old it was and where it was at and where it was located and all that. And that's never happened before, ever.
Have you ever been contacted by the Department of Homeland Security, Pastor?
No,
Never have. And is your church affiliated to a larger body, a denominational body?
No, sir. We have no affiliations, nowhere with nothing. We're just a strictly Bible-based doctrinal church. I was raised in the Assemblies of God when I was a kid. But now we're affiliated with nothing. And like I said, the reason why I would be on a no-sale list through the FBI, on a no-sale list with my background, and obviously they've pulled my personal background and they know what we did. There's only one thing, and it's the fact that we have exposed governmental activity in a very decent manner. Through the years, but it's been enormously effective. I mean, you know, you don't get no better from the horse's mouth, and that's what we do. We play them saying.
I got to tell you, Pastor, as well as our listeners, you know, by profession, Joe and I are both investigators, obviously. And as you were talking, I did a quick check on just to verify. Just to authenticate what you're saying, you know, and I've got to tell you, folks, this gentleman, Pastor Daryl Dumas, is the salt of the earth. This man has nothing in his background. There would be no reason aside from perhaps making somebody angry by presenting the truth for this man to be denied the right to purchase a firearm. And looking at his website, talk about respectable presentation of news. I got to tell you, Pastor, you've very much so. So you know, it saddens me. Obviously, you're not the only victim of this. Do you know any other pastors who've taken positions like yours, public positions like yours, and have had similar experiences?
No, sir, I don't. I don't know of anybody in my circle that's done so. But I tell you what, probably there's a 10% rule. I don't know if you've ever looked into it or whatever, but if you look into it, they say that if you can convince 10% of the nation that what you're saying, what you're doing is right, then the other will follow in lockstep. You go back to the days of the Klan, and you know certainly not all white people was in favor of what the Klan did. The fact is, there was a whole bunch that was against it. But the problem is if you spoke out against the Klan, you got the same thing the blacks got. You know, I've known 4,000 plus blacks from 1860 something till now. They hung 2,700 and something whites. And today, the same thing is taking place now, that if a black person speaks out against what has now become the norm, then the blacks attack them like the Klan attack the white people. But the point of the business is if you can get 10% of the population to listen to you and to believe you, then that's all they say with that 10% rule that it takes to sway the country. And that's obviously what the liberals have done, because you can't even go into black. And I was raised in a black church. Pastor's a black man, and the only man I've ever called pastor. You can't go one by one to blacks in any city in America, and one by one ask them, do they believe in the policies that the Democrats press and push? 90% of them disagrees with almost every policy they got. But yet, because they sound sincere, they'll raise their voice. They have some emotion. They have some passion in what they're saying, what they're presenting. And to people who's ignorant, or to people who's not knowing of the situation, the person who sounds more sincere and sounds more behind what he's saying is going to get the attention. Republicans, they don't even know how to argue. They don't know how to present nothing. And so 10% of the people, if you can get 10% of the people to listen to you, you can actually sway the whole nation. So the only way that I am a threat is that the message that we have brought and the presentation and the way that we have brought it cannot be refuted. It cannot be refuted by the president, by the Congress, by no judge, nobody, nowhere. It cannot be refuted. And so we are a threat. Not that we would have a worldwide audience, but that 10%, me plus you plus this one, if we get 10% listening that's actually believing, then it sways. So we're a threat. You don't let us off the ground. Which is a rule. When you know you have an enemy, I don't care how it sounds, I'm all for feeding him and giving him the necessities of life, but the man who has forsworn himself to kill you and your children, you do not let nor take your foot off his throat. Period. If it do, just as I said in the Bible, in the day of judgment, they'll rise up against you. That's what the Lord said. And you don't do it. You don't do it. The time you start coddling your enemies, you give them, even in the churches of the book of Revelation, the church of Ephesians, the church of Ephesus was commended by the Lord for what they hated. Christians know nothing about hate anymore. God is the one created enmity, hostility. I will put enmity between her seed and your seed, hostility, hatred. We hate with a godly hatred, which stops us from murdering and stops us from killing. I don't have to kill the world for my religion or for my God. He's able to take care of it himself. But if you do not hate what God hates, if you do not hate what is evil, then what is evil will rule you in a very short period of time. Ephesians the Church of Ephesus wouldn't let the doctrine of the Nicolaitans in the door. By the third church, they was in the pews. By the fourth church, they had the pulpit. And that's the way it works. And the bunch that's in power now knows that. And if you think they're going to let their foot up off our throat, well, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And that's why this is a threat. That's why. That's why I'm a threat, a man who possesses nothing, who has nothing. There ain't no reason in this world to look at me and the insignificant congregation, the insignificant funds, and say in someone's wildest dreams that I would be a threat to anybody for any reason. And for the FBI, a federal agency, to have pulled my name and labeled me as a risk, so much so that I can't purchase a gun in the United States of America, tells you that they're afraid of us. And they got reason to be. Not because it's Daryl Dumas, or not because it's you, but because it is the church, and the church is what has withheld this trash from the beginning. And it is their greatest problem.
And Pastor, while we have you on, I would like to ask you, the church, you just mentioned the church being pretty much its own worst enemy in terms of not telling the people the truth, not telling the people what's important. What can we do as the body of Christ, who a lot of our audience members don't go to church for the fact that their church refuses to preach the truth and sound doctrine, instead conforms to this world and, you know, changes the definition of marriage, goes along to get along pretty much. What advice would you offer us, our audience, in if there's a way to help change the church back to the foundations it should be, or if we are to pretty much start our own, should we start our own churches instead?
Well, for the first 17 years that we was on the air, I wouldn't receive anyone's tithe money, because the tithe should go to the local church. I wouldn't even receive it. If someone said it, I'd send it back to them. And we'd only take offerings if someone wanted to give offerings. But now we will accept if someone says, you know, you're my church, because I understand what you're saying. You can't just go outside. You can't go down the road anymore and find a church. You may not find it in your city. What we do know is that there is another body of believers somewhere, and it's worth looking them out, looking for them and finding them. And, you know, there may be little differences here and there, but the fellowship is good. But the truth is, brother, that there comes a time that a gross darkness shall fall upon the people. And having ears they won't hear and eyes they won't see. And there's a time that judgment is going to come. There's a time that God says it's enough, and no prayer, no fasting, no amount of it is going to save anything. It's not going to stop it, as it did with Jerusalem in the 9th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. It was over. He was fixing to judge him, and he sent destroying angels down to destroy the city. But he sent an angel with a writer's ink on, and said, you go and you mark in the foreheads all of those who have cried and sighed against the abomination of the land. That's, brother, where I personally believe that we are right now. Is I think national judgment is coming. I don't think it can be stopped. I think the second election of Barack Obama guaranteed it. And I think a national judgment is coming of some form, of some type. But our safety in the church is for those who will still listen, those who will hear. And it takes no more than hearing the word. That's what moved them in Jesus' day. It's what brought the disciples. It's what made disciples. It's what made the apostles. They heard the word. They received the word with joy. And it created a new person and a new man. And there is no other exception. There is nothing else you can do. If the word that is spoken is not filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit entered into that person's life at conviction, he's not going to change. And the carnal mind is the carnal mind. It makes no difference if it's educated or not educated. An uneducated carnal mind will steal your money with a baseball bat, hitting you back the head with it. Educated carnal mind will sit across seas and take everything you got out of your bank account with a computer. crying inside, brother. That's all I know now. I mean, and your heart is there. My heart's there. People who listen to you on the radio, people who watches me on television, their heart is there. It's like it was with Elijah, you know. I mean, we attempted to believe we're the only ones. He said there's 7,000 of them out there that not bent their knees to Baal. And there's a remnant in America. They're there. And they feel isolated. They feel alone. They've listened to enough propaganda through the government, through sitcoms, through television, now through the radio that has now moved into their neighborhoods and society, that we are actually beginning to think that we're the ones that might be wrong. And so intimidation has come upon us. And even good, sound-minded Christians today are afraid to speak in the public on a job because we are intimidated, which is a spirit. And so the only thing that we can hope for is to speak the word, the unadulterated word of God, to do it in love, but to speak the unadulterated word of God. And those hearts, as convicted by it, that will receive the Holy Spirit, will be changed. But, I mean, it's in your heart. It's in my heart. I can't watch this trash. I mean, this is pure rot filth. This is trash of the highest order. And there ain't no way that I, no more than Lot, could sit in Sodom and Gomorrah and his righteous soul not be vexed with the manner of life in which they lived. And to hold our peace is simply impossible. And us refusing to hold our peace is the only thing that's going to bring salvation to the ear that comes across it, that catches it, that sparks it, lights it on fire. And hopefully there's enough time for it to take hold and bring revival. And if not, judgment is coming.
Wow. Indeed, we agree with you 100%. Pastor, before we cut you loose, where can people, you mentioned, well, of course, you've got Touching Hands Ministries. Where can people watch you? Are you on the internet or?
Yes, so there's some stuff on the internet, clips that people's put on there, and a few things, and just recently spoke at a church in Tennessee, and there's three messages on there from there. If you just type your name, Daniel Dumas in. And we're on Central Standard Time at 10 o'clock. Let's see, it's 10 or 10:30. 10:30, I believe it is, on channel 367 on, not Dish, but the DirecTV. It's DirecTV channel 367 on Sunday nights at 10:30 Central Standard Time. You can see us there, and you can go to the website and pretty much do that. I'll be honest with you, brother. I wouldn't be on television if they didn't keep sending support. We do not ask for a penny. I would just as soon quit it. And that's the God's honest truth. But you know, I mean, when you make a vow for more than 5 years that you're not going to mention a thing about money, and just based upon people's hearts itself, they keep sending it in, and it's enough to meet the bill, then you can't help but believe that it's God doing it because he knows my heart, and I would much rather just leave it alone. But so there's not a whole lot. I don't get on the internet and the things posted on there, other people posted, but there is a couple of messages on there that you can see, and you can see us on the television on Sunday nights.
Perfect. All right. Well, Pastor Dumas, we really appreciate you being on, telling your story about this how far we've gone.
Yeah,
this
travesty being taken away.
This from travesty.
Yeah, you have a preacher having his rights taken away, his ability to buy guns over his speech.
Whenever I become the threat to America, we got problems.
you know, I have a good friend who's very well connected in the intelligence world, and he just sent me a message. He said, "Boy, I do hope that Pastor Dumas would look into following through with some sort of action to oppose what you've been subjected to oppose what the government has subjected you to, because he
I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, I don't even know where you start. You know, what do you do?
Well,
go to the police.
Well, he wrote to me. He said this would be a great case for an organization such as Judicial Watch or the NRA. And Pastor, off air, I'll send you some helpful links. But he said just as Paul demanded that he be taken to Rome and treated as a citizen when local officials tried to stop him, from preaching the gospel. The reason Paul did that is because, as a Roman citizen, the government was required to treat him with correct due process. He did it also for all of those who could not. And I think that, you know, perhaps we can help you in that respect. But this is certainly a travesty of everything we know. And it's interesting, too, Pastor, that everything, instead of redefining marriage and redefining, or instead of reinforcing marriage and reinforcing what's correct and true, everything is being redefined and has been redefined. And the tolerance of evil, when we tolerate evil, tolerance becomes evil itself. So, you know, my goodness. But
well, they can tolerate everything but us. Yes, sir. Well, if y'all will send me that information, I'll do something about it. I sure will.
All right, Pastor. We just want to say thank you so very much for joining us.
And thanks for speaking the truth to your congregation, as this is what is so lacking in our country today.
Well, I thank y'all for giving me an opportunity.
All right, sir. God bless you, and good luck with Touching Your Hands Ministries. Folks, that was Pastor Daryl Dumas in Meridian, Mississippi.
www.ddumas.net is his website.
Yeah, his name is Daryl Dumas, and ddumas.net. Denied being able to purchase a gun for his grandson, because why?
I misspoke it. I said his speech. It could have been his speech, but basically he was playing what the leaders of the country were saying.
Exactly.
So it was, he gets his gun privilege, his right to buy a weapon taken away because he shows his congregation the evil and lies spewing out of the mouth of the leadership, and I'm sure adding on to it, but not obviously in an insulting or a manner that is unbiblical, as the man seemed very spiritual. He was very humble, and he seemed taken back by this. And from the sounds of things, he's only been trying to bring the truth to people, regardless of any denomination, money, or whatever. He is just wants people to understand what is going on in the world. A pastor that we need in every community that is lacking. And obviously that's why they're coming after him, because he is the pastor that most places in this nation need.
And just think, if they can, and they have obviously done this to Pastor Daryl Dumas, and this is a prime example of the runaway government here. But the thing is this, this is further confirmation of what is taking place. You speak the truth. Do you now, after hearing Pastor Dumas, Joe, do you believe for one moment that any one of us speaking the truth, any one of us taking a position, a public position against the administration, if this regime, wouldn't be placed on an enemies list?
If not already there.
Exactly. So we have to expose this. And this is my view. I think the more exposure to situations like this and others, if we can just have others expose their plights and do something, be proactive with it, I think it's incumbent upon us to expose things like this. People say, oh, this doesn't happen. In fact, I got an email Sunday. An email from somebody. It was out of. I was just trying to think of the state. It doesn't really matter. Saying, you know what? All this talk about these enemy lists and these drones. You're just full of it, because it doesn't happen.
Well, it doesn't happen, huh? Well,
we have exhibit. You know, an exhibit.
Yeah, there's been no drone strikes on an American civilian on American soil as of yet, but there have been overseas. Don't forget, we have the NDAA, lost, which allows you to be taken away, basically for speech, kidnapped, detained, disappeared indefinitely. You have Forbes today. There's an article. Maybe it's time for national discussion on the 1.6 billion rounds of bullets DHS is buying. You think now's the time, or you think it was the time when the warning sirens were being, rung 6 months ago, 3 months ago? Now that they're buying armored tanks and other vehicles, now you guys want to weigh in on this problem? You know, welcome to the party, pal, as you would say.
The Forbes article, it was refreshing to see only because it kind of brings this into the mainstream. That said, it's old news, but it's continuing to happen. And I've seen a couple of letters from congressional aides. People have written to their congresspeople in saying, well, what's up with the ammunition purchases? What's up with the MRAP purchases, the mine-resistant vehicle purchases? What's going on here? And two different congressional aides had written to separate people, and it almost looked like a template letter. When I say template, the letters from different parts of the country were, if you compare them side by side, were very similar in content, in response, saying, oh, this is normal. Everything is normal. Don't worry about it. It's a conspiracy theory being propagated by hyper people on the internet. It's rumor. It's not true. This explanation from congressional aides to constituents in different parts of the country. Once again, I bring it because we are able to take a few steps back and see the national implications. These were sent to us by individuals in different parts of the country, but to put the responses side by side, it's almost as if both of them got the same memo. So, anyway, one thing before the top of the hour, Joe, we've got just about 8 minutes here. Remember moments ago, or early in the program, I should say, we were talking about veterans veterans receiving letters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to drive home a couple of points on this, because to us, veterans are the last line of defense against tyranny, and I'll explain this. Veterans are now, of course, receiving letters from the Veterans Affairs, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, out of Virginia, which are telling them that they've been deemed without a mental status examination to have a physical or mental condition due to their combat experience. I'm just kind of elaborating on what I mentioned earlier. Their physical or mental condition due to their combat experience has rendered them to be ineligible to possess a firearm. Further, under the Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act, publication number 103-159, as implemented at 18 U.S.C. 924, Section A, Paragraph 2, if the veteran possesses, receives, attempts to purchases, and transports a firearm, they may be fined and or imprisoned. And December 31st of last year, when Obama thought no one would be looking, he signed the 2013 version of the NDAA pursuant to Obama's implementation of a police state. Well, thousands upon thousands of veterans are receiving these letters from the government declaring them to be mentally infirm. And if you think about this, folks, by the way, further, if a veteran has been wounded or suffered a traumatic brain injury, they are considered, listen to this, to be potentially violent, mentally infirm, and therefore ineligible to own a gun. We have to start taking notice. Our veterans are being disarmed in total. The process is through the executive decree, through our federal bureaucracies. No judge, no jury has declared these veterans who received these letters to be mentally infirm. Think about this, folks. There's been no due process. A letter. It's a thinly veiled draconian effort to take guns out of the hands of the people who know how to use them. Now, there can only be one reason the government is so focused on disarming veterans, because armed veterans would form the vanguard of any resistant movement, would they not? The globalists who have hijacked our government are attempting to take away America's front line of civil defense by disarming the very people who know how to use the weapons. In a civil war, which arises from attempted mass incarcerations or mass executions carried out by the globalist forces, that action, would it not be fought frontline by armed veterans, groups of armed veterans? Veterans would organize the local citizenry. I mean, they've had the experience. They have the knowledge of how to do this. They could organize the citizenry into guerrilla units in this country in response to the tyranny being opposed by our would-be slave masters. And veterans would be capable of a lot of things to counteract the UN occupation forces, if any such would exist. They would teach the rest of us civilians how to use weapons at our disposal. They have a lot of resources, experience, and certainly would no doubt employ the principles of asymmetrical warfare, including the use of the weapons, but the use of other devices. And what is happening here, the federal government is preventing our veterans from helping us, from even having the potential to assist us. The globalists must psychotropically drug the veterans, and this is what's happening. Joe, you've mentioned this so many times. To continue to keep creating such a hellish life for veterans that our brave warriors will continue to commit suicide at the rate, get this, of 22 a day. What are we doing to our veterans? From the globalist perspective, veterans can't be allowed to become our 21st century version of the Minutemen. Don't you think the globalists did not learn the lessons of the British defeat at Lexington and Concord as they were attempting to disarm the colonists?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only two reasons why veterans must be removed from playing the role of civilian defense force in defense of us, the average Americans who don't have a seat at the table of the New World Order. The first reason, and listen to this, is the coming civilian purge. See, globalist forces under the NDAA, they're going to begin to disappear dissenters. Look at the pastor we just had. Can't afford, or not allowed to purchase a weapon for his grandson. Anyway, globalist forces under the NDAA, they're going to begin to take away dissenters and others who are deemed not able to re-educate, or to be re-educated, I should say, as prescribed by Obama's early political handlers. This is where Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn come in. Remember Larry Grathwohl? By the way, I saw the front cover of his new book coming out. Larry Grathwohl, a great American patriot. We talked by email today. His book is coming out about his experiences.
And for those of you who haven't heard of Larry on our show, he infiltrated the terrorist group The Weather Underground, or known as the Weathermen then. Founders were Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, not only good friends with current U.S. President Obama, they were instrumental in helping launch his political career, and most importantly, they share the same ideology. Now, Mr. Grathwohl was in a meeting with the Weathermen where he was told that they were going to have to eliminate 25 million people who were not going to break away from capitalism in re-education camps.
Exactly.
And that was from the 70s, those numbers.
And they've only refined, Joe, they've only refined their processes. Now they've got the very people who were working back then as rioters or as people on the ground. Now they're in control. See, mass arrests of undesirables, as told back then and told today, that's a necessary prerequisite to the imposition of a tyrannical government. The second reason, by the way, is making the U.S. easier to invade, and that is something we have to consider as well. So, that said, look, we are seeing the purge. We are seeing us being set up from within. And the veterans, well, they're on the front lines. And what happens when veterans give up their guns? Historically, it's happened before. Red Revolution. A Russian blogger had recently wrote an account of this taking place in his own country. In fact, I probably should, and Joan, I probably should provide a link to that account, or at least write about it. But folks, you get the idea. The old phrase from the movie starring the late Jonathan Winters, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. And perhaps it's more prophetic now than you might think. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on this, the 11th day of March 2013.
If you're stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, P-H-Y-S-I-C-S.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a Horologium Nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, P-H-Y-S-I-C-S.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave 4physics.com.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagman and Hagman Report, this third hour on this Monday, March 11th, 2013. That was some new intro music provided by...
Shaking it up a little bit, and that's by Mel. Thank you, Mel. God bless you, my friend. Interesting little take on that. Of course, we had to cut that down for the size, but I want to thank Mel for that, for his take on the intro. I have a couple of emails just real quick with questions I wanted to address. Can I do this now before we get into things, or is that right? All right, let me do this now. There is an individual, folks, if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com and CanonFreePress.com, questioning about the financial collapse, and I've got two or three different emails about this. The individual writes, and let me just pull this up here. Big question. This is by Betty, a concerned reader and listener, saying they're asking this. So I don't have money to buy gold or silver, but those who do, what are they going to do with it? Exchange it for what they want, or what? That's always been my question when I hear buy gold or buy silver. Thanks, a concerned reader. And that's Betty. And this is in response to the article that is now on CanonFreePress.com and HomelandSecurityUS.com. And the reason, and Joe and I spoke about this earlier, the reason to have precious metals is to preserve wealth, in our view. We're not investment advisors or investment counselors. However, if you can use your fiat currency, your money right now, your paper, the paper that's in your pocket, or the digital numbers that are in your bank account that could disappear tomorrow, or the paper in your pocket that could be worthless tomorrow, if you can exchange that money, and just think about it like an exchange for something that has value. It doesn't have to be gold or silver. That's just an expedient way to preserve your wealth. But this is all you're doing in the case of gold and silver, is wealth protection and preservation. It is not necessarily for use in the market. You're not going to take necessarily a 1 ounce gold bar, or you know, 1 ounce gold or 1 ounce silver bar or 1 ounce silver coin and go down to the 7-Eleven and buy yourself a loaf of bread or a Big Gulp. However, that might be the case at some point in the future. But it's a method just to preserve the wealth. And Betty, I hope that answers your question. And others may have a different take or additional takes on that, but I thought I'd mention that while I had the chance.
All right. We're going to go to some comments President of Afghanistan Karzai made this weekend, stating that the U.S. and the Taliban are in collusion with each other. Now, the U.S. has come out and dismissed Karzai's accusation of their collaboration with the Taliban. At the same time, reports come out that the U.S. and the United Kingdom, along with France, are training al-Qaeda rebels in Jordan. Foreign instructors are training Syrian rebels in modern warfare in Jordan, suggests media reports from Europe. Sources claim the trainees will be the security force if Assad goes. While the combat skills they are being taught distort the picture. In the past 3 months, some 200 men have already received training in two camps in the east and to the south of Jordan. Der Spiegel reports the military training focuses on the use of anti-tank weaponry. The news magazine reported, citing that it were participants and organizers. It adds that there are plans to provide a training for a total of 1,200 fighters from the Free Syrian Army, the opposition force battling the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. Now, going back to Karzai made accusations in the wake of some suicide bombings that the collaboration was between the U.S. and the Taliban, or al-Qaeda. He said, yesterday's bombings in the name of the Taliban were aimed at serving the foreigners and supporting the presence of the foreigners in Afghanistan and keeping them in Afghanistan by intimidating us, he said in a televised speech. Karzai has been in power since 2001. The terrorist acts coincided with Chuck Hagel's first visit to Kabul as the U.S. Defense Secretary, in which he was meant to discuss the gradual reduction of the American presence of the and the fates of the Afghans held in custody by U.S. forces. This attack was a message to him, Taliban spokesman Mujahideen said in the aftermath of the detonations. But this is not how Karzai saw the incident. Taliban leaders and representatives are talking with the U.S. abroad every day, he claimed. The Taliban, a radical Islamic movement that controls swatches of the country, refused to recognize Karzai's legitimacy. The Taliban has strongly rejected the accusations in an email communication. The U.S. and NATO forces commander in the country, General Joseph Dunford, also rebuffed Karzai's allegations. He says, we have fought the past 12 years against the Taliban. Meanwhile, the U.S. embassy in Kabul reminded Karzai that it has not even held talks with radicals following a breakdown in negotiations exactly a year ago. But we know otherwise that the United States, along with Western interests, have used the Taliban and al-Qaeda as their proxy forces to all the way back from 1979 to fight the Soviets when they were invading Afghanistan. And this is admitted openly by Hillary Clinton. And she admitted they started the Mujahideen in an interview she gave, I forget how many years ago, a few years ago. We know that the United States has supported the rebels in Egypt and Syria and Libya and continue not only with armaments, but now they're giving... But we saw John Kerry authorize a $60 million non-lethal aid release package with an additional $55 million tied onto the back of it. We saw Obama give the Muslim Brotherhood Egyptian-run Abrams tanks and helicopters and a $1 billion aid package. So we see this media, we see Assad, we see Karzai, we see all these people in these regions that are being overthrown, that are being disrupted or invaded by the U.S., stating you guys are arming and helping al-Qaeda, or at least using them to bring about the change you want. And the U.S. says no, at the same time handing the Taliban and al-Qaeda, you know, millions of dollars in weapons.
Well, this makes the case, I think it makes a case for people paying attention that all wars, all major wars, political upheavals, at least, well, current and over the last century, have been carefully planned and instigated by the machinations of the global elite. And you can include, you can go back to the Spanish-American War, you can go to World War One and World War Two, the Great Depression. But the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, if you study that, and even the rise of Nazi Germany, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War, the Korean War, we're seeing some action there right now in Korea, North and South, that we'll address here in a moment. But all of this, look, we are seeing, and this is a perfect example, I believe, that all of these major political, or all these wars, are being financed. Both sides are being financed. These are really chess matches, are they not? By the globalist bankers, by the leaders of the banking cartels. Isn't this where this is coming from? You know, I did some research, Joe, and we're looking at this a little bit differently this weekend. I had to take a few steps back and kind of think, well, wait a minute, are we seeing a worldwide conspiracy really today play out? And of course we are. It's being orchestrated by a very powerful and influential group. And you know what else? They are genetically related, at least at the highest echelons. You see, when Steve Quayle talks about the genetics, and you see, for example, references to DNA and to genetics in writing, and think, well, what is all this about? Who cares? What does this mean? Well, the very people who are orchestrating the things that Joe, you showed, that's an example. These people are genetically related individuals, extremely powerful, very influential, which include many of the world's wealthiest people, top political leaders, the corporate elite, as well as members, and folks, those who have not or are not familiar with this, members of the so-called black nobility of Europe. If you have a moment, I would do some research on the black nobility of Europe, which is essentially dominated by the British royal family. Their goal is to create a one-world fascist-style government, stripped of nationalistic and regional boundaries. So they want complete, their intention is to affect complete and total control over every human being on the planet. Not only that, but to dramatically reduce the world's population. The name New World Order is a frequently used term when we refer to this group of people. It's more useful to identify, I suppose, the principal organizations and institutions, and even the individuals who make up this vast interlocking spiderweb of elite conspirators. But it references the Illuminati, and that's the oldest term, perhaps, to refer to a certain, dozen plus one bloodline families. So, they make up the majority of this controlling elite. For example, the upper levels of the Illuminati pyramid, because it's a spidery network of things, as I said before, but you've got the Council of Three, Council of Five, Council of Seven, Nine, 13, and so on, 33, the Council of 300, just among others, but there is a lot of information out there that you can research and explore. And I think what Joe said, or what the information that Joe just went over about the Taliban, about Al-Qaeda, isn't that, Joe? I mean, isn't this, how else would you explain a program that assists both sides in a war or in a fight? How else can you explain that?
Can't.
So, you know, when we talk about the Illuminati, when we talk about this New World Order, it's not a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy by definition, but it's not just whacked out. It's not so far out there that it's crazy talk, tinfoil helmet time. It's actually the very people who are involved in setting this up. And if we look back through history, and once again, the wars, they were all manufactured, funded by both sides for the purposes, for the specific, well, to manifest their agenda through a very skillful manipulation that has taken place over the last couple of hundred years. So, again, this is why we mention, for example, the elites, the Illuminati, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. Yes, they are extremely involved in the wars, in financing the wars, as are the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. they're part of the global shaping chess match. And indeed, so we have to understand this. And they're also the very culprits for our economic demise or coming economic demise. And I just wanted to mention that because, Joe, I think that's probably one of the most obvious obvious exhibits of the workings of the New World Order. I just want to mention this, and then we'll move on. Air Force Chaplain awarded the Bronze Star for a PowerPoint teaching proper sensitivity for the Quran. Can you believe this? An Air Force Chaplain has been awarded the Bronze Star for his service in crafting an especially good PowerPoint about how to treat Islamic religious materials with sensitivity. This appeared, by the way, in Ohio's Dayton Daily News. After U.S. troops in Afghanistan accidentally burned copies of the Quran, which sparked the riots that took over 30 lives, Lieutenant Colonel John Traynor, interesting name, came to the rescue. And the Dayton Daily News says, after the accidental burning last year of Qurans by U.S. troops in Afghanistan, after that, they sparked the deadly rioting, an Air National Guard chaplain from Springfield stepped in and potentially saved countless American lives. Sure he did. For his effort, Lieutenant Colonel John Traynor received a prestigious Bronze Star, a medal given for heroic or meritorious achievement in connection with operations against an armed enemy. And he did it with Microsoft PowerPoint. So within 48 hours, Traynor developed a PowerPoint presentation on the proper handling and disposal of Islamic religious material that was seen by every American military and civilian alike in Afghanistan. It was required, basically, to be seen. The presentation was then distributed to the U.S. for use in all pre-deployment training. Aren't you glad, Joe, that this man was awarded the Bronze Star for his service?
Yeah, it's kind of like the PTSD for the drone pilots that we see. Just is absolutely out of, you know, just so out of left field and wrong. You know, good is bad and bad is good, and they will call good bad and they will call bad good, as it says in the Bible. We are living in those times, and, you know, this weekend I did have some time. My wife's still recovering, so I spent a lot of time with her, but I did have some time to look over some things in Scripture and do some other studies. Especially, I like to go to the root meanings of the words and look up the root meanings of different things. But I was reading out of Corinthians this weekend, out of 1 Corinthians, and there's a lot of things that stuck out at me. It talks about judgment. You know, should you judge another man? Should you judge another man's work? Should you judge anything? Even if you are have things against you that could be judged. And I'm just going to read something that some things that stuck out at me. It's not about judgment, though. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise you up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Talking about the union and being joined in marriage. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And this is important because what do we know about our bodies under the new covenant? They are our temples. They are the temple where the Lord will dwell. And we know that, it goes on to explain in here how people are not only when sinning against their body are sinning against the temple of God, and we are supposed to keep our temple clean. Now, I know a lot of people will say, well, the temple is referred to as the third temple being built. But Scripture does say, you know, that the temple is within inside you. Know that
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? And it goes on to say about wisdom. And this is what was really getting me this week. This weekend was the talk about the wisdom and the Bible verses about speaking. And it, you know, made me want to bite my own tongue. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And it goes on in the second Corinthians here, if I can find it in time, to talk about the importance of this, about examining yourself, proving yourself to the Lord. Okay, here it is. Since, and it's talking about seeking the proof of Christ, this is what I wanted to get to, because so many people are looking for a sign. So many people are looking for, when is this going to happen? We're in the tribulation. No, tribulation starts on this date, and people have put together calendars, and people have put together timelines. People have set dates, and it's a never-ending cycle, which really hurts the believers who look upon the people setting the dates. I mean, look at, what was that, 621? Where they talked about the rapture is going to be on, I forget who it was. What was his name? Hal something. Not Hal Lindsey.
Oh, wasn't it Harold Camping?
Harold Camping. Yes, Harold Camping. Thank you. Since you seek proof in Christ, speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do not do evil, that we should appear approved, but that ye should do which is honest, though we be reprobates, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should be I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you forever. Amen. Now, obviously what stuck out to me there is a few things. The trust, what can you do against the truth? What can you do against the truth? For you can do nothing against the truth. Instead, you can do it for the truth. That is when you are doing what we should be doing. And even better in my mind is we are weak. When we are weak, he is strong in us, and our only strength is in him when we are weak. And that builds, there are verses in there that continue on that about the weakness and strength. And when we are weak and we seek him, we build our character, our godly character. If we are weak and we seek earthly things, we build not godly character, we are building sins. So whether it is us talking, whether it is our actions, we need to be accountable, just as every other person on this earth.
Exactly.
Just as everybody in the chat room, everybody listening, even people not listening, even people who don't believe in the Lord, they're going to be held accountable for their speech, their thoughts,
their actions. And I went through this analogy before. The spiritual nakedness. On the day of judgment, when you're there with Jesus and he's deciding or looking if you were written in the book of life or not and going to be deciding your eternity, what have you hidden away spiritually that you think nobody knows about? What secrets do you have that you think or you haven't got caught or haven't revealed? Those will be revealed. It is better to get those out now. Confess to the Lord, repent for your sin.
Yep.
Because if you hold those secret sins, those things that are secret on this world, nothing is secret in the Lord. Nothing. So what good is it when this world will be done away with, when our earthly bodies will be done away with, and we will be left with nothing but ourselves in spirit, in what we have done with our time on this earth. This earth is a run-up to our afterlife. It's a, well, how would I put it? In a sporting term, it would be a tryout. The only difference with this tryout is if you make the team or not. If you don't make the team, you go to hell. If you make the team, you go to heaven. And that's, I guess, the easiest way I can put it, especially for people who might not be very familiar with the Bible or the Lord. And my father and I were talking before the show about changes that need to be made with the show. As we continue to grow, as we continue to gain listeners, we have an obligation to those listeners to be more efficient, to be better when talking about current events, to be better when talking about Scripture, to be better with guests, with all, with everything we do associated
yeah,
with the show.
To mature, I suppose, would be the
right
proper term.
Right. And we have, and with the help of others, noticed a lot of things that we could be doing better with effort that we don't, effort we use for other things. We were putting too much effort into the wrong things and not enough effort into the right things when it comes to preparing for the show.
And isn't that kind of like, well, it's like a template. It's like a template of our lives. We do the same thing in our lives where we expend unnecessary energy or look at the wrong things, the unimportant things, and the important things suffer. You know, Joe, you mentioned something earlier, and I just want to touch on this, about the truth and about how people, you can see people make boy, go on the internet, you can find all kinds of timelines and all people are looking for signs. We're stumbling over signs. And concurrent with those people that are in pursuit of the signs of the times, I'm looking for the Antichrist and such, what we're seeing right now take place is this diluting of Christianity, of true Christianity, through, for example, New Age religions. And in preparation, I suppose, for a new world order or a one world religion. You know, this New Age religion that dilutes Christianity to such a point is kind of an intoxicating combination of pantheism and polytheism. Now, pantheists hold that there's this universal energy life force that that flows through everything, and it's kind of like they worship the earth and everything else. They refer to this energy as life or the God force, and it's really a heresy. New Agers, on the other hand, speak of it as their Christ consciousness, for example, or their cosmic consciousness. But all of this is a delusion of Christianity and a mischaracterization. And I see this a lot associated with people trying to, you know, predict or, you know, assess who the Antichrist is. And this weekend I was talking with someone who I admire and respect, and he said, you know, people are looking for the Antichrist kind of in all the wrong places. We're expecting to see this ugly Hitler-esque type individual come onto the world scene, when in fact it's going to be someone who will have the respect and admiration of the entire. I mean, it's going to be a great deception, obviously. And our listeners, the majority of our listeners know this. If you're new to the program, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, that's why we have to keep close to, that's why Joe addressed the scripture here. We have to keep close to the scripture so we can avoid being deceived. And boy, you have any questions, just go to the instruction manual. And what's the instruction manual? Well, it's the Bible, in my view, anyway. So
yeah.
There you go. But
if you can't understand the instruction manual, go to the man who put it together. And through prayer, fasting, you can find out for yourself. You might not always like the answer.
Well, no.
I have found myself in that position many times, but and just what I wanted to do was we covered a lot of news. We covered, we had Mr. Dale on for about a half hour. We had
Pastor Dumas
on for a little bit, and I didn't get to something I wanted to get into tonight, but that's okay. We can do that on another day. Tomorrow, don't forget, we're going to have Steve Quayle on. That's going to be a 9 to midnight show. Should be definitely very interesting as always. But one thing we have to talk about, and this might be a good time as we have 25 minutes left, and I feel bad I have not got around to putting together a good presentation on this, but I feel I can do it right now in a
semi-coherently?
Yeah.
All right.
The New Age, Zeitgeist movie, the New Age movement. And what that is doing to young people. The email I got was probably a month and a half ago, asking if I could shed light on the Zeitgeist movie and the New Age movement and how to refute that, because this lady who emailed me said her son believes that this movie and what they teach, which is basically a Jesus light, the earth is, you know, 25,000 years old or more, millions of years old, but there's these cycles where Jesus-like figures come around every so often, and they've been known throughout history in different parts of the world, and it's the same story, and you know, they base everything around the sun, they say, because the sun in the sky. I have to make sure I clarify this here, because this is where people get confused and hung up. The Zeitgeist movie teaches that the sun and is during the spring equinox. Is it the spring equinox? Is that the darkest 3 days? Or the, I'm not sure exactly how it goes. But anyway, they teach that the real Jesus, the Son of God, is the sun, the actual sun, the pagan symbol. And that the reason that we have religions in the Bible is a method of control over the people, the control of their minds, control of their bodies, to keep them in line. And the New Age movement is part of this, really. And what people don't know is that the movie Zeitgeist goes off the teachings of Bailey and Crowley, these old people who started the New Age movement, the Satanists. Was Aleister Crowley who said, he wishes he was alive when Jesus was crucified so he could stab him, I think, something along those lines. But what the New Age movement has done is used self-growth, self-improvement as a cornerstone, self-enlightenment. And it has tried to transform the youth, and has really done a good job of transforming the youth, back to paganistic, secular belief systems. Now, a belief in the theory in Zeitgeist is a religious belief. It's not a Christian belief, it's not a godly belief, but it's a religious belief. How many beliefs or religious beliefs are there out there that are not godly? Well, there's so many. Look at all the different denominations of all the different types of religion out there. How many are right? You know, are Buddhists right in what they believe? Are, you know, people from Mayans right in slaughtering innocent people for, you know, what they believed was, because my
understanding is when you have advanced knowledge of when eclipses are going to happen, when certain celestial events are going to happen. That's how these old civilizations, the people in power, used those events to hold weight over people. And they say, if you don't do what we say, you know, we're going to make the sun turn black. Well, they knew there was going to be an eclipse that day. Anyway, this new age movement is really through music, through astrology, through subtle things. Even this, and this bothers me, on our local Fox radio show or station where they play Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity, in between those shows, you hear commercials for psychics. Oh, call this psychic line, blah, 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 blah. These are the new age. This is all new age religion, but it's not new. It is all old pagan, different types of pagan worship. And like I said, it includes astrology. Now, there's a difference between astronomy and astrology. Astronomy being the study of the stars. Astrology being more of the stars decide, you know, what you do on that certain day. Many people in the Illuminati or the elitist movement believe that you don't start any new projects until there is a new moon, because that new moon symbolizes the new time, and they say that their project will prosper if started on a new moon rather than in the middle of a moon cycle, like a half moon. This is just a simple belief they hold.
Right, and you've often heard us talk, say it's not what we believe, it's what they believe that's important. I think that we have to look at it that way too, Joe. You know, and when we talk about, like you mentioned just now, the Illuminati, it's such the satanic aspect of this. And Aleister Crowley, for example, and folks, if you don't know who he was a master Satanist of the 20th century, 1875 to 1947. Oh, it's just an incredible, incredibly evil individual, and perhaps maybe the father of some interesting. It's interesting to know he might be the father of some people that are well known worldwide. But go ahead, continue with what you're saying.
Yeah, about the New Age, about the. Basically, how it has evolved into all music, and it's not even New Age anymore. It's New Age combined with Satanism, which have engulfed Hollywood, the music industry, and pretty much all of the media and all the music that we see. And I don't even like listening to our pop, what is it, the top 40 radio station we have in our town anymore, because all the songs, all the love songs seem like they are toward, not toward another person like they used to be, but toward some sort of evil entity or entity giving them the power to be in the position that they're in. And I'm not sure how many of you people listen to regular radio or hear it played when you go somewhere, but it is absolutely crazy the how in the open these people are of anti-God. Now, we talked about Nimrod last week and how I believe he had the spirit of the Antichrist. It talked about his tyrannical rule. It talked about many things, and everything that he did was done against God, and it was on purpose. And paganism here. I'm going to get into paganism, because paganism is a part of the New Age movement, obviously, I have beliefs that the sun is the true deity, or is the mechanism by which the world religions set up this, you know, set up the Bible and all these other religions. But paganism is, it says, a term originally meant country dweller, and biblically corresponds with the definition of the Amorites, a word that identifies worship rites and religion of Wicca, Druidism, witches, magicians, sorcerers. The word pagan was made popular again. It speaks to those who practice in the occult, black arts, black magic, and sorcery. And there's Bible verses. We can grab the back of this up, but this book goes into the word Westerner, and it talks about
the worship of the early Western ideal, or the way the Western countries have changed Christianity, have changed the true word of God. It goes on to say, the typical meaning of the word pagan came from the deviant religious practices of ancient people. Pagan, in God's mind, is synonymous with heathenism. The term Westerner, for example, referred predominantly to the Amorites and those of their diverse clan. Their rituals were repugnant to the Almighty, who forbade Israel from learning their heathen ways. These were ways that comprised of idolatrous practices. It goes on to say the Westernite or Amorite religion involved nature worship. It was expressive of a religious institution set up by Cain that was passed on to Nimrod and subsequently others. This is from a concordance. Astrology, demonism, death rituals, bestiality. What do we see today? The bestiality in the military, the rituals, sexual rituals in the military.
And we mentioned last week about Yale. Yale was now getting into teaching bestiality. So
yeah.
This is not something that's ethereal. This is in practice right now.
Yeah. This goes on to say that the fundamental basis of their religious system was self-preservation from the elements and life's cruel hardships and the salvation of the afterlife. See transhumanism. Well, as I get into what we talk about with the ruling elites, how they want to merge themselves with computers to avoid the judgment so their bodies can live forever. And that ties a lot into what people were saying in the chat about, I think it was Michael in the chat who talked about the scripture in Revelations where the people who were left alive were in the mountains begging for the rocks to fall on them so they could die. Well, why would they be begging for rocks to fall on them so they could die? Was it because they couldn't die too naturally? I mean, it had to be really bad. You had to be really wiped out. Or was it because of they just knew that their time was up and the plagues were so bad on the earth that they couldn't handle it anymore? 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 3. For the Lord, or I'm sorry, we'll start with verse 2. And he that did which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. And he built up altars into the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, Jerusalem, I will put my name, and built altars for all the hosts of heaven in two courts in the house of the Lord. And it goes on to talk about making how they made graven images of the grove that he had made in the house, which the Lord said to David and to Solomon, his son, in the house. Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever and ever. Now, Jerusalem, why is that important? Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all are making claims to Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem belongs to God. It is sovereign. It is God's sovereign land. So all of Israel is, Jerusalem being the capital of that. Now, the Bible gives an account from thousands of years ago. And before that, we'll go back to, 10 years before Jesus was born. Even that, before that, in the book of Daniel, hundreds of years before Jesus was born. The prophets all prophesied about Jesus' coming. Okay? This book, the Bible, was put together from all these ancient Jewish writers, all these people who lived through this. The stories were passed down from Noah to Moses to, I mean, these miracles were not by accident. You can even find scientific evidence that back up the flood from all cultures. You can find scientific evidence that back up many claims that are made in the Bible. But I guess my main point is on the New Age issue, and we can
need to really break down in much better fashion than I just attempted to do. What and how deep the New Age religion really goes and how far it has deceived people. But one thing we need to keep in mind now is not to fall into any of these traps, because there are traps for us Christians out there that we can be caught up. How many people would call themselves Christians yet go to a psychic or do tarot card readings? Or how many people look at horoscopes? How many people base what they're going to do on that day from the horoscopes, which are come from where the places of the stars are for every certain time of the day, time of the year, whatever. We know that there's nothing new under the sun, yet the mechanisms of deception are so great that we can be deceived into believing one, I mean, it could be just one small thing, one small area can destroy our soul. This is why we need to be so self-critical, so in the word of the Lord, that we are so in tune with Him. We know, because our conscience tells us we are doing something wrong, even if it doesn't seem to be wrong. Could be something as simple as, a lot of people debate this, Christmas, putting up a Christmas tree, the way you celebrate Christmas. Should you celebrate Christmas? You know, I never believed that was a problem before. And that might be a lot for somebody to handle who's just turning into this program, or who's a regular church-going Christian, and say, what do you mean? How can Christmas be bad? Well, Christmas is celebrating God's birthday. Well, God wasn't born on December 25th.
But what's the significance of that day? Of course, the significance of our modern-day Christmas came out of the paganistic rituals that we see. Everything that we're, you know, everything that we're seeing is a lie. Everything we've been taught is a lie.
Yeah.
And once again, tapping the words of a friend, the lie is different at every level, but it's very pervasive.
Yeah, you
very
say on a key point, everything we've been taught is a lie. Now, just because that's the way our family does things, or the way we've been taught by our family, who may be good, doesn't mean it's right.
Correct.
That's why we say take everything to the Lord. And I was having a conversation with a friend today, and he made a great point about, you know, people uniting and coming together and fighting, especially inside the people who claim to be in Jesus. And he said, how can you have time to fight when you should be too busy praying, reading the Bible, and asking the Lord for yourself what the truth is? And he said it in a much more articulate way than that. But
can we not do both?
Should we? Okay, there's a difference between fighting, asking questions, and seeking the truth. Name calling, for one.
Do we put each other down
because we don't agree? I mean, could be wrong. I could be stating something I think is fact. Like, 2 + 2 = 5. And instead of saying, no, you're wrong, 2 + 2 = 4, and here's why, you could say it that way. Or you could say, oh, you're such an idiot, the answer's 4. Or,
and boy, you know, don't we see that? Don't we see
right.
that?
So right. Right. And even if I am wrong, I need to be the bigger man and understand that I'm wrong. I need to find the error of my ways and not only thank the person who pointed it out to me, but be grateful that it was shown to me.
That's right.
And I'm not, this is nothing personal, this is nothing about anybody, this is about me, actually, if anything, my growing process, trying to understand the human heart versus our soul. We have a conscience and a spirit that wars with the body, in the flesh, and the mind. They are at odds with each other.
We can't please the body and please the soul.
You know, all of this, though, I think relates back to what you said in the beginning about the New Age
right.
religion. And I think that this plays... we're being...
That's pleasing the body while attempting to say it's on a spiritual or for a spiritual
exactly.
purpose.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. It's easy. It's once again, a dilution of the true beliefs. The New Agers, I mean, it's to them, this is a spiritual evolution. You know, it's almost like a godlike power with them, with having even psychic powers that you mentioned before. You know, many of today's New Age pantheists attempt to redefine, change Orthodox Christian terminology, practice, and conform with their occult beliefs. And what else can we say but occult beliefs? Because that's what they are. And some of them even call themselves Christ. They don't intend
right.
to. It's weird.
And I got to pose this question to you. And we might have talked about this in an earlier show, but I feel it's important again. When it talks in Matthew about the signs of the coming of Jesus again, and it says, and Jesus answered unto them and said, take heed, let no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, does he mean many will come in his name, saying, they are the Christ, and shall deceive many? Or will many come, saying, Jesus is Christ, and deceive many? That's just a different way of looking at this verse, and that was pointed out to me months ago. But it seems to me that people are deceived more by people who say, yes, Jesus was a real person. Like the pastors, the big church pastors that pray or, you know, beg for money that we see, that put on these big shows. Are more people being lost by believing somebody is Jesus on earth, or are more people being lost by people claiming they're under the power of Jesus, teaching his word, but doing the opposite?
I would say the latter, and maybe not doing the opposite, but doing something parallel. And I think that's perhaps more dangerous than doing the opposite, which is readily identifiable as anti-Christ-like. When you've got somebody, and this is where I believe that when you have a parallel belief or a parallel action driven by a belief, what you have is a very classic deception, ability to be deceived. Imagine, you know, we were instructed to know the signs of the times and in the end, the last times. Were we not? I mean, were we not by Jesus? Were we not told what to look for? What will be taking place? Of course we were. And yet we have people attempting to redefine that through their own specific, formula, I suppose. And I think that's, we're looking in all the wrong places. I mean, to sum it up, we're looking in all the wrong places. And there's no deception as great, in my view, than someone, to fall for like a parallel type of a belief system that mimics Christ, that mimics the King James Version of the Bible, yet it is based in anything but that. That's just my view. But you did a good job explaining that.
I was about to fly. I did not have anything prepared except one in this book, just one reference to the New Age movement. But I will be doing more writing in which I can present in a more articulate and biblical manner what I'm trying to say. And it's frustrating not being able to say what's in my head, because there's so much in here in my head and so few words that come out of the mouth that are right in the way I want to say it. But I apologize.
But I don't apologize, but I'll say this. how does this apply? It applies because we're seeing everything you mentioned play out right before our very eyes. Folks, thank you for listening tonight. It was an interesting show. Got a lot covered. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock Eastern time, not 8, 9 to midnight, Steve Quayle. And then on Friday, got to firm this up, Susan Price, Gold Star Mother, about what's really going on in the military.
And watch our Team Canine YouTube channel. We are going to start using, beginning to start using that a lot more this week, hopefully. So keep your eye on that. We'll post videos as we make them. God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.